You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
A man!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. This is a special Royal Rant edition of the show, NCAA Tournament edition, March Madness special, if you will. Who am I, you ask? I'm the Godfather Nate Milton, your faithful host, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Marcus. I have never, nor will I ever, care about anything in my life as much as that Northwestern kid cares about Northwestern basketball. Vanderberg, how you doing, my brother?
Did you laugh at that kid, too?
I laughed so much at that kid.
Shame on CBS for turning bad to him.
He has ascended to the pantheon of great post-game or end-of-game fans. You know, he's up there with the Piccolo girl. And, like, I think he's jumped over the Piccolo girl.
I think
he
so,
was
too.
So animated. And
it kept going back.
Yeah, and it went, but it was, it, like, with the Piccolo girl, it was just sadness. But with this boy, you had, like, sadness. Then he got happy. Then he got sad again. It was great. Like, it was terrible, but it was great.
The son of the athletic director.
Like, that kid's got a future in something. I don't know what, but he's got a future.
Yeah. Tough loss.
So, yeah, we're here to discuss the first weekend of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. We're going to be sexist and not really get into the women's tournament.
Wow.
Send your cards and letters to Marcus Vanderberg.
Wow.
She didn't care about you, ladies.
Jeez.
I think, though, one of my favorite commercials, and that might be something we touch on here in a little bit, how great the NCAA commercials have been compared to the Super Bowl commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been showing this one commercial for women's athletics, and it's like most of the typical commercials you've seen, and then it's like, we're not here to do another Girls Are Strong commercial. We're just here to be athletes. And I'm like, but wasn't the whole point of your commercial? That girls are strong? Like, what type of message are you trying to send me, NCAA?
And since you slandered women's basketball, look up Destiny Slocum of Maryland. She's had the shot of the tournament so far, men's or women's. Have you seen this play?
I have not.
Let me send this to you.
To be fair, Marcus Vanderberg, like I love women's basketball, but the women's college tournament has no interest for me at all.
Well, it's such a, I mean.
Why go to a movie where I already know what the ending's going to be?
Well, not only that, but, I mean, did you see some of the stores from the first round on Saturday?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's obviously there's a lack of depth as compared to the men's field.
Yeah.
But even like, even the big teams, like the teams that should be, you would think, opposition and competition for UConn, at the end of the day, they're just going to get smacked by like 20 points anyway.
Yeah, the parity there. I mean, UConn won 116-55. Baylor won 119-30. Mm. Hampton lost 94-31. If you ever find yourself in a women's bracket pool, just don't chalk. You have a great chance of winning. Well, here he goes. Quinnipiac upset Marquette. Quinnipiac was the 12 seed. They knocked off the 5 seed.
How much of a degenerate gambler do you have to be, Marcus Vandenberg?
I've done one before.
Betting on women's basketball?
Oh, not, oh yeah, I bet on women's basketball too, yeah. I think for like, I think I was in Vegas for, I think the women's final 1 year.
Like if your rent money is riding on the Quinnipiac score,
yeah,
you got problems. All right, so what did you send me here? This is
it's a gift for the play.
Destiny Slocum's buzzer beater. All right, let's take a look here. Connor Newcomb. Okay, so Destiny Slocum just did the most incredible basketball thing ever, and the Terps lead 38-24 at the half. Let's see how good this shot is, because Marcus has been hyping it up. Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, wow. That's... If you haven't
that
seen
strong.
It play, it's a 70-foot heave, but the way she has her feet planted, it's all upper arm strength.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's got her feet planted. It's not like the traditional, like, last minute, I'm going to throw the shot up. Like, she just does it. It's all.
Her feet are set, and...
That's all arm. Wow. And accurate, too.
Nothing but net, so.
So, in your face, Steph Curry. Wow. Good for you, Destiny Slocum. So the women's, the Lady Terps had a far better experience than the gentlemen, I'm assuming.
That is true.
Because I didn't even feel inclined to read the rest of the article to find out if they won or not.
I'm going to assume that they're playing West Virginia, and they're in the sixth seed. Let's check. Maryland won by 27.
Is this our fault, Marcus, as consumers, or is this the NCAA's fault for not making this thing more enticing to us as viewers? That we're not plugged into the women's tournament.
The biggest hurdle they face is doing against the men. Even though they do separate days where they do, you know, a staggered start, it almost needs to be like its own separate time, which would be hard to do with the schedules, but... It needs its own 2 weeks or 3 weeks to do its own thing to have people to. It might not get a lot more viewers if they did it that way, but the way it's currently set up, if you're choosing between the men or the women at the same time, you're choosing the men.
Yeah, because you got the men's tournament, you got the women's tournament, you also got the NIT.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of basketball. If you're a basketball junkie, you got a lot of basketball to choose from.
And because of the men's tournament, there's only so many outlets to carry the women's tournament. Primarily ESPN, but then there's only so many ESPN channels they want to dedicate towards the thing, so a lot of it is on like ESPN3 and stuff like that, so it's just hard.
Yeah, and they've been showing wrestling over the women's stuff.
Yeah, that's been on this weekend too, the wrestling championship. So yeah, it's tough sledding for the women.
Yeah. You think somebody would do something about this. But we're not here to do that, Marcus.
No.
We're not here to be the saviors of women's sports. And if you listen to our last topic of discussion this week, women might have some issues with us.
With you.
Well, we'll save that. That's a little teaser. We are... in the midst of Sunday night, so the last day of the first weekend of the tournament. And I guess the million-dollar question for you and so many other basketball fans out there, brother, is how's your bracket looking?
Before we dive into that, we've sort of buried the lead here. You know what today is?
Let's see. Today is not St. Patrick's Day.
Nope.
We just had that. Let's see. Is it got something to do with black people? Is it like
I mean, technically, yeah, we're black. We're people.
Oh, so it's got something to do with us.
Yes.
Okay, so what is the significance of today, brother?
4 years ago today, we dropped our first episode.
March 19th, 2013. 2 days after St. Patrick's Day. I was probably hungover on that show, too.
You probably were, because you probably recorded on St. Patrick's Day.
I wasn't hungover on that show. I was drunk, probably.
And that was right after your return from Canada, so you probably were drunk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That whole first...
Drunk on love.
I'll say that month and a half. Probably up until April of that year. April or... June, I was probably drunk for all those episodes, which is probably why me and Alfred got along so well.
Yeah, and then you sobered up some, and you said, wait a second.
Some. A little bit.
A little bit.
Like, yeah, why is this dude talking about Bray Wyatt all the time? He got to go.
Yeah.
He's got to go, which is, if you think about it, Marcus, at the time, we thought it might have been a curse, but now, considering the prominent role Bray Wyatt has in this year's WrestleMania build-up.
Oh, man. So if you're new to the show, and by new I mean the last, I guess, 2 years, the show started as a three-man crew.
Yep.
With myself, Nate, and Alfred Kanawa, a.k.a. Bit Nasty. And he left the show in July of 2015. So yeah. We've probably done half our episodes with him and half without him now at this point.
That's about right. Yep. And he was much like Bray Wyatt, he was a man of mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Yes.
So yes, this is our anniversary, if you will. So happy anniversary, brother.
Thank you.
I got you and the listeners a gift for next week, so I hope you'll be around.
I will try my best.
Next week we've got a big celebration plan, if you will, because this episode would be our anniversary show, but this is a black sports podcast, so we can indulge in colored people time or colored podcasters time. A little CPT, if you will. So we got a big celebration, a little anniversary episode coming up next week that we hope you'll enjoy.
It was actually... trying to find the last episode of Alfred. Can't find it. No, it was summer. So it's been at least... It's been on 2 years, so...
Yeah.
All right. And now
we'll always have the. I was gonna say we'll always have the Hollywood Coleman interview.
Oh yes.
It's like will Alfred come back? Well, I don't know. Boo. So yeah, go back and listen. Go back in the archives if you feel so inclined. And I think we've got it as a standalone episode too.
Hollywood Simpson, I think so.
I don't know why I called him Hollywood Coleman. I was thinking about that Outkast song.
Oh. Yeah,
but that one nigga took his shirt off. So
you can find it.
Who else want to mess with Hollywood Cole? But yeah, I think we've got the Hollywood Simpson episode in the archives, and you can check that one out, as well as the great Kevin Krieger episode.
Oh, yeah. The guy who was supposed to win the Derby.
Yeah, black Kentucky Derby guy. He could have started the upswing in interest in horse racing among black folks.
Yeah. I'm not there yet for horse racing.
No, but you are there for NASCAR.
I'm all in for NASCAR.
What did you spend more time watching this weekend, NASCAR or women's basketball?
NASCAR.
Damn. Told you, ladies, Marcus ain't got no love for you. So, back to the topic at hand, the men's basketball tournament. Again, Marcus, like so many things around this time of year, brackets take on an added importance. So, currently going by the Yahoo system right now, Marcus, out of 44 available correct picks, I've made 31. But I do have all four of my final four teams still alive. How are you doing?
I have made 34 picks, but I have lost the final four team, Nate. Not only that, I lost my champion, Villanova.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah, so that's not ideal. I started out great.
Back for Marcus Vandenberg.
I went 15 of 16 on Thursday with my only mistake being Virginia Tech, Wisconsin. And I went 12-4 on Friday. And then yesterday morning, it was a wrap.
And so, let's see. I'm looking. Like right now, I've got Duke, Arizona, North Carolina, and Kansas in my final four. So I'm... At the moment, I'm good, but I have a feeling there'll be some more tomfoolery going on. But that's kind of the way the tournament's been, at least for the last few years, Marcus, where the first weekend, it's upset heavy. But then once we get into that second week, we start to see more of the chalk start to emerge.
Yeah, I would say this week, first few days, was not a lot of upsets. And it wasn't until, I guess, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, where we started to see more upsets with Nova going out, Florida State getting blown out. So, so if you went chalk, you're probably in decent shape for the most part.
So, we gonna talk about the media's favorite team going out?
Who's that?
Shout out to Uncle Wilbon and Morgan Campbell. J.A. Adande and people of that ilk.
Yeah, Northwestern.
What did you make of their run? Because, honestly, I think if you're a fan of the Wildcats, you pretty much got what you bargained for. Like, they could have lost in that first round to Vanderbilt. They easily could have lost that one. And then they had a tough game that they only lost by 6 to the top team in their bracket. So, all things considered, I'd say it was a pretty productive run for Northwestern.
It was. I mean, they had a gift from Vanderbilt. I don't know why that dude fouled. That was a total mistake on Vanderbilt's part. Excuse me. So even though, you know, the fact that they advanced was a gift. And the fact that they rallied, they were down 20. Against Gonzaga, they cut it down to single digits at one point. So, hey, that's a win. To be honest, I was getting a little tired of the Julia Louis Dreyfus cutaway shots.
you prefer the kid to Elaine?
I did. No offense to Charlie Hall, which is Julia's son, who his second season on the team now. Has not scored a point yet. So how about we cool it on the shots of Elaine? I mean, you can at least cut to all to the media personalities. You can at least cut to Wilbon or Darren Rovell, for God's sake. But
that's what I think the people would have wanted. Maybe even more so than the kid.
Crying Rovell.
It's like crying Wilbon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, but I thought it was a good game, man. Like I think even like they didn't have anything to be ashamed of. I think your boy Chris Collins, technical foul aside or getting teed up aside, I thought he did a good job with the team. And you know, they They exceeded expectations, so I don't think they had anything to hang their head about.
They exceeded expectations, and they are not losing their top three guys. So
yeah,
there's no reason why they can't make a run next year in next year's tournament as well.
So that should bring everybody optimism except for Charlie Hall, because that means he's not going to get off the bench again.
One more. He'll be a junior, so maybe he'll get his one shiny moment next year.
Senior night, I'm gonna get to play. Come see me, mama.
Well, they put him in last night.
At the very end,
though,
right?
At the very, very end.
As I say, when the game was out of hand.
Yeah. Charlie Hall, who went to Crossroads High School out here, the same high school as Baron Davis and
really
Jay Adonde, so.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, shout out to you, Charlie Hall. Let's see, going back to our brackets, were there any teams other than like the on the nose upsets? Were there any teams that surprised you maybe in the way that they underperformed? Because I think maybe it's because I'm in this area in ACC country, but I was extremely disappointed by Virginia's showing. Not that losing to Florida is anything to be ashamed of, but just the way they went out. Like, is Florida that good?
I don't think Florida's that good. I think you're right. They just didn't deliver. And UVA is built for the tournament because they're all about defense. And
I want to say, what, Sweet 16 last couple years?
Yeah. And that's how teams can sort of get exposed in the tournament is by playing a UVA type where they emphasize defense. That's why I think UCLA is going to have issues at some point because their defense is atrocious. And the game slows down to the point where you're going to need to make stops. And I don't know if UCLA can do it. But the fact that they scored, what, 39 points?
Yeah. That's 65-39.
Yeah, that's... Whew.
Like,
and it's funny, is I saw their score from the first game, and I was like, oh, they scored 76 points somehow. That's pretty good. And then... they followed that up with an egg. Mm.
They were probably tired.
All that scoring? Yeah.
Yeah, all that scoring against UNC Wilmington.
Yeah, they struggled down the stretch. They had a rough February in terms of their schedule where they got Virginia Tech, Duke, and Carolina back-to-back-to-back. So they did beat Carolina later on in the month, but yeah, that was not a good showing for the Cavaliers.
No, so back to the drawing board for Tony Bennett, who will not be leaving his heart in Arizona. Eh?
I see what you did there.
But you mentioned UCLA, who is home to, I guess, the greatest basketball player of this generation.
Lonzo Ball, of course.
Let his daddy tell it. Yeah, let his daddy tell it. How far do you think they can go? Because I've got them beating Cincinnati, but I got them going out to Kentucky in the very next round.
I have them losing to Kentucky as well. If you don't remember the first game between these two, they played in December in Vegas and was probably the most exciting game of the season. I think the score was, let me find it. It was 97-92. And the Bruins pulled it out. At the time, Kentucky was the number one team in the nation. I just feel like we know UCLA can score if anyone, but the defense is going to catch up to them, as I just mentioned. And I think this will be the game where Kentucky can sort of learn from their mistakes from the first time and exploit some of that.
How good was the Pac-10 this year, Marcus? Because I know a lot of listeners, especially on the East Coast, don't really have access to all of their games. And I'm wondering, you know, how strong a conference was the Pac-10 this year or the Pac-12? Let me come into the modern times with the name of the conference.
It was very top-heavy. Arizona, Oregon, UCLA were at the top. All three have
30 wins. One game I saw this year, like I saw an Oregon game where – they just were killing somebody. I don't even remember who it was, but they had like 19 three-pointers.
It might have been like, Arizona. I know they blew out the Wildcats.
They were at home, and they broke, like, the home record for most three-pointers.
Yeah, Oregon is also the school that scored 128 against Savannah State during the non-conference schedule. So, but the thing with Oregon is they added Dylan Brooks, who missed the first part of the season due to injury. Arizona added Alonzo Trier, who was out for a good part of their season as well. So they've added two weapons. And then you have UCLA, who are led by two freshmen, Alonzo Ball and TJ Leaf, who I think both will go pro after this season. We know
Lonzo is.
Yes. And then you have USC, who's currently playing against Baylor at the moment, who, to be honest, I didn't think they were as good as last year's team. And they had a decent enough record non-conference, but when it came to conference play, they sort of came back to earth. But they're leading Baylor at the moment, which would be interesting because it would set up a USC-Duke matchup in the Sweet 16.
Let's talk about Duke, because I've got them in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I've got them losing to Arizona in the Final Four, but most of the season, the talk has centered around antics. I was going to say off the court antics, but the antics occurred on the court. But how good is this team? Do you think that they can, if not get to the Final Four, make some trouble for a team like Arizona?
I think they're good. A lot of it is just like on paper, they're very, very good.
Say pedigree.
Yeah, on paper. And plus, Harry Giles should have been a lot better than what he turned out to be. But due to injury, he was, coming into the season, he was supposed to be the guy who was going to be the number one pick after this year. And he's a guy currently where if I'm Harry Giles, I probably want to stick in college for another year just because my season's been so up and down. And then you have the whole Grayson Allen issue where he...
Is he the most hated player in the tournament?
Oh, easily. Easily. And he's someone who took a step down from last season. He's had all these issues with tripping guys. He got moved to the bench. And if he can sort of be that sixth man off the bench for Duke, then that sets him up pretty well. They're pretty dangerous. Just Jason Tatum has sort of emerged as their top freshman. And Luke Kennard has been their leading scorer all season. So, I don't know. I see them having... what do I have them doing? I have them losing to... They're in the East? Oh, well, I had them losing to Villanova, so that's not happening. But with Nova out, I can definitely see Duke winning the East now.
I've got Duke beating Wisconsin, which we'll see.
Wisconsin, who was upset at their 8 seed and was probably a little high for them, and
yeah,
they're not.
I love my man. I forget who it was, but after the game, and he's like, a lot of people using analytics and using numbers, but the one number they can't put in the computer is heart. Like, that's real corny, but I'm not mad at you, bro.
Was that Nigel, the black dude?
Yeah, the black dude.
Nigel Hayes, who's been there for like 8 years.
Yeah, and I was like, didn't he play with Frank Kaminsky?
Yes.
But yeah, he was like,
Frank Kaminsky, Jim Jackson, all those guys. Every Wisconsin guy.
You can't measure heart. I'm like, coming from anybody else, that's corny, but I'm not mad at you. if Wisconsin continues on the road that they've been on, it would not shock me if they were able to beat Duke.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It's something about those Wisconsin teams where you look up and you're like, oh, how are they this far.
But right now, Marcus, as we mentioned to the people, we are recording on Sunday. So there's a few games remaining on the schedule that are either in progress or have yet to start. But let's not talk about that. Let's look ahead. Let's forecast. Let's put on our projection hats. And I look ahead to next week, Marcus. What do you think is going to be the big story next week? Do you think we have more upsets? Do you think one team comes out and starts to establish itself as the team to beat? When we record our anniversary show next week, who do you think we're going to be talking about off the
I think Kansas. They had a good showing today. And, I think part of Kansas is, like, sort of their reputation in the past and in the tournament. But this isn't your average Kansas team, because they are led by a senior in Frank Mason. But then you also have Josh Jackson, who's probably a top five draft pick as well. So there's a good balance there between the senior leadership and also like the elite freshmen. So I think they're someone who could definitely get into the Final Four next weekend.
I like that. I think from my perspective, I think Arizona is going to be the team we're talking about. But if you're looking for like a dark horse, maybe somebody like Michigan, who beat Louisville today. Like, I think now that side of the bracket, until they match up with Kansas, like, that could be wide open. Because in the other matchup, I've got Oregon beating Rhode Island, but they're currently trailing. So let's say Oregon finds a way to win.
Oregon won, by the way.
Oh, they won?
They won by three, yep.
Okay.
So it'd be Oregon, Michigan.
Okay. See, to me, Oregon is a team that is very dependent on their shot. Like, if that shot's not falling, I think for them, they're much more dependent on a perimeter game than Michigan. So I could see Michigan beating Oregon, even though they're the lower seed.
Yeah. If I had to rank the Pac-12 schools, the top three, I would definitely have Oregon three. I could see that happening.
Now, like I said, I've got Duke, Arizona, Carolina, and Kansas. And I'm feeling pretty confident about those four, Marcus.
The one thing I did notice about people's brackets, especially like the ones at work, is everyone had a different winner. There was no
consensus.
And I think that probably sort of shows you that this year's season in general was a little all over the place. And there are some traditional powerhouse names like a Kansas and a Kentucky and a Duke that are good this season that casual fan might just say, hey, I know that team name. Let me just ride them out. But then you also have Gonzaga, who actually looks like the number one seed for once. So I am curious to see who actually makes it to the Final Four.
Yeah, like Gonzaga to me, I wouldn't. In the West, but ultimately two things played out for me, Marcus. One was how many times we gonna let Gonzaga fool us?
Mm-hmm.
Because they always come in with promise. Like, they're always in the mix, but we haven't really seen them seal the deal yet. But then the other thing with Arizona is, you know, the home court advantage. Like, I'm wondering how big an asset that will prove to be.
In the Final Four itself?
Yeah.
It will be noticeable. I mean, people love the Wildcats and the Tucson Phoenix area. So I know they would definitely make that trip up from Tucson, which is about 90 minutes or so.
That's another one of Wilbon's places of residence.
Wilbon's a Scottsdale guy. Scottsdale's a couple hours away from from Tucson.
Just hoping we see Wilbon at the game. It's always good to see Uncle Wilbon. Like, I think they should add him in. Spike Lee and Samuel Jackson.
That would be pretty funny.
Complete the quartet of old black dudes.
So that's what Wilbon is now. He's officially your old uncle.
Yep. Yeah, then that's like you got all different types of uncles up there. You got Spike and Sam and Mike, and then you have Charles, like all your uncles up there. It's like, which one is the drunk uncle? Which one?
the drunk one's easy. It's Chuck.
Yeah, I don't want to go too further with this analogy.
No, yeah, because it gets weird soon. So
yeah, I was gonna say after the first couple of examples, like you're getting some dicey territory.
Yep, and we all got them. So don't, like, you don't have those uncles too.
Yep. So that is our March Madness discussion for this week. We'll have more obviously next week once we start to see the field settle in a little bit more. But Marcus, we just avoided a touchy subject, showing our professionalism here on this show. But to show how unprofessional we are, let's dive right into maybe the touchiest topic of the week, at least when it comes to the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah. Paige.
Poor little Tank.
So she's had a rough 18 months, right?
Yeah, it's been I was gonna say it's been a hard 18 months, but I don't know if I should go there.
Nah. Bad word choice.
We're gonna run into a lot of that in this discussion, Marcus.
I think so.
But yeah, for the listeners that haven't heard the news this weekend, let them know what's going on with poor Paige.
Paige was a victim of a celebrity hack. And there were some videos that were released on the internet.
And pictures, not that I looked.
And pictures, supposedly, allegedly. And, you know, it'd be different if it was just Paige and whoever.
Mm-hmm.
A wrestler, or not even a wrestler, a person you didn't know.
Right.
Or Paige by herself. But,
like, I think, like, if it was just some random dude, that'd still be interest. But
yeah,
what kind of kicks it up another notch is, yeah, who was the...
Yeah, so also in the video was a brand new tag team that we didn't know about, Nate.
Yeah. We got one gentleman that is currently on the roster and another one who is a free agent, I guess you could say.
Yes. Brad Maddox.
Yes, that Brad Maddox.
Yes, that Brad Maddox. And Xavier Woods.
Mm.
You can sort of figure out how that all plays out, but those were the two guys in the video with Paige.
Yeah. Because they cocks.
Oh man.
Oh, this is terrible. We shouldn't. I shouldn't have made that joke, but sometimes you gotta. Sometimes it's just right there, Mark.
Too late now.
Too late. I'll try to do better. But yeah, so.
And we should mention this was in 3 years ago.
Yeah, this was 3 years ago. So I'm assuming prior to her relationship with Alberto Del Rio. But here's the other element that was in the video, I guess, Marcus, that might cause her some problems at work. Not only was it Brad Maddox, not only was it Xavier Woods, but it was also the NXT Women's Title belt. Yeah, that was a major prop in this storyline. So I'm wondering, like, obviously, I think off the bat, like you said, she is the victim in this.
Yes.
And so, like, I think people that are pointing fingers and stuff at her, that is looking at the wrong thing. Like, whoever released this, to me, that's the ultimate person that is the wrongdoer in this instance. But we know how the WWE is, Marcus. I mean, we know your man Vince McMahon is a petty rucks man. So do you think that Not that Paige is a prominent character right now on TV, but do you think that she receives any punishment because of this?
I don't think so, because it does feature Xavier Woods. And
but do you think Xavier gets punished?
No, I think it's there's a double standard there.
You think Vince might give him a push out of this? Next world champion, Xavier Woods.
God damn, pal.
He comes in and beats Goldberg.
Listen, this is not the first time this has happened.
Nope. Seth Rollins.
We had Shawn Michaels in Playgirl.
Yep. X-Pac.
X-Pac. Hogan. Mm-hmm. So this is not new. So I think the bigger issue with Paige is just the fact
Before you continue, Marcus, uh-huh. Congratulations to Paige, though, for not using that terrible lay of language in this video. That just for that fact alone, the fact that she didn't call this man the N-word, that rises it above the level of terrible lay.
No congratulations for not wearing a condom. So do better. But anyways, I think the bigger issue is that she was probably already in the doghouse because of
Del Rio
and just the suspension. I mean, she's been popped twice now, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So
and she's had unflattering things to say about the medical staff.
Yeah, she's just it's a bit of a mess. And I think this was like the final
Do you
straw.
Think the only reason that she's still being kept around is because of that movie that The Rock's making?
Because
in terms of just being a character, like there's really, like obviously she's been hurt, but mm-hmm. there's really no use for her, like on TV right now. Even when she was healthy, they didn't really do a whole hell of a lot with her.
Well, it's been so long; I can't remember the last time she was on.
Like her last big story was probably the thing with Charlotte. Where they brought up Charlotte's dead brother, which was
classy.
But then after that, I think she was just like wrestling Natalya or something, like in a program going nowhere, and then she got hurt. So it's like, yeah, they weren't really doing anything with her the last time she was active.
It's been since June, so yeah. We're pushing a year. She's underwent neck surgery. She's been suspended twice. She's got a public relationship with a guy who is not in the company and probably not in the best terms.
I think for the WWE and for Paige, it would probably be best just to part ways. But I think like the only reason they're not is because they're doing that damn movie.
Is it a WWE film or is it just The Rock?
I think it's The Rock's production company, but I think it's like in conjunction with WWE films.
Okay.
No pun intended.
Yeah, in that case, then it's a little tricky.
And do we get a bonus scene in the movie now?
Oh.
Who plays Xavier?
Did you see that?
Kevin Hart?
Did you see that tweet?
No.
JTG tweeted it out.
Oh,
He stole that joke. He asked about who can play Xavier in the movie.
Oh, JTG playing Xavier Woods. That'd be a brilliant bit of casting.
Yeah. So
I think, man, like
I don't see her ever wrestling again
in the WWE.
No, you can't have her out.
No, but especially some of those crowds.
Yeah. I mean, even Xavier, I think they gotta figure out how to handle that. Oof. Because
yeah.
I mean, they're in Brooklyn on Monday. I wouldn't make that risk.
And you screwed Paige Chance.
Oh man. Yeah. I don't know what they do. I mean WrestleMania.
I was gonna say you say it'd be bad in Brooklyn, but when these guys are the hosts of WrestleMania in a literal arena full of that type of fan and amplified up to 11 when you got the UK folks in there.
Nah, but it's an outdoor stadium. I mean, when chants in general are hard to pull off, and football.
You tell that to all those drunken Europeans, Marcus. They'll find a way.
I mean, what do? You can't bring it up. I mean, you can try.
Here's a way you can bring it up, Marcus, because, you know, I'm always pushing for, if we're going to have Hulk Hogan back at WrestleMania in Orlando, that the one way to do it is to have him interact with the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
So they can kind of roast him and joke him a little bit. But you can have Hulk, you can have Big E and Kofi getting ready to joke him about his tape, and Xavier like, hey, guys, that's not funny. We've all been there, right? Right, Terry?
Yeah.
Talk about up, up, down, down.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think Hogan's going to show up this year.
I hope not. Like, what's the point? What purpose does it serve?
However, I did reach out to his people.
Really?
Because I've been trying to interview him as like a follow-up.
Take him to a NASCAR event?
Yeah. And his people wrote back and said, sorry, the Hulkster won't be doing media for a long, long time.
Especially not with your black ass, brother.
Yeah. So that can mean one or two things. Either he's really not trying to be involved in the scene, or he is going to be somehow involved in WrestleMania and he can't talk about it. So
I think it's the latter, because when have you ever known, outside of the initial event or incident with the video, when have you known Hulk Hogan not to want to promote Hulk Hogan?
Well, he's been, outside of the minus TMZ hits, he's been not in the news since the Rocker thing happened. It's not like he's doing media and doing like Hulk Hogan podcasts. He's sort of been laying low.
Oh, that would be a wonderful, terrible show. The Hulk Hogan podcast. get on that, Court Bauer. get Conrad team up with Hogan. Hulk Hogan. Oh, man.
Something to maybe racist with, I don't know. What would this cat one be?
Oh, man, that'd be a wonderful train wreck. Like, I think the over-under would be like a month, but it'd be a great four episodes.
Yeah.
Just have them take live calls, too. Okay, now we're going out to Tyrone in Brooklyn. I don't think so, brother.
The other thing, what's the point of having Hogan come back unannounced at WrestleMania? That is nothing for you. If anything, it's just going to be it's going to make headlines that are probably going to be not flattering. So it'd be different if you advertise, hey, Hulk Hogan's going to appear on Raw and he's going to issue his first statement since the Doctor lawsuit. Okay, that's one thing. But just for him to pop the crowd and say, well, you know something, brothers? I don't know. It just seems like that's not the best way to use him. If you're going to use him at all.
I mean, yeah, not for us, but again, what does your boy Vince think?
Now, I do think if you're going to do that, then it makes sense to involve the New Day just to sort of include that racial element where the New Day is getting Hogan over, which would be hilarious. So I think that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, I don't think you could do it any other way. Like, it can't just be Hogan showing up like nothing happened.
Yeah.
I think it's, you got to have... And I think the New Day would be clever enough to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, but real quick, last thing on this whole Paige thing, man, because, again, I think a lot of the fans have been pointing the finger at Paige, which is, ridiculous, because if we want to keep it 100, Marcus, I'm going to need the dudes out there to stop what they call it, Marcus, slut shaming.
Yep.
I'm gonna need y'all to stop slut shaming Paige, because what you don't understand, brothers, is the rip. So you know he's cool, but the rest of us single men out here, we trying to still get these naked pictures from these ladies we talking to. And the fact that you out here besmirching Paige's name is not helping us.
The other issue too is, like, you're talking about a community where, if you're going to be stereotypical for a second, probably single, probably not the best of women.
Yep. Not to mention these are dudes that when Paige is wrestling, all you would hear is, oh man, Paige is so hot, man.
Yeah.
I'm just, like all that. Yeah. Come on. Yeah,
this is their fantasy right here. I think the bigger issue, and not just Paige, is if you're going to film this stuff, you got to keep it off your phone, off servers, off clouds.
Yeah, and I guess you got to know who you, literally and figuratively, Marcus, you got to know who you're getting into bed with.
Yes, you do.
Because say this is like an ex-boyfriend or something like that. Like, yeah, sometimes the people that you trust can stab you in the back. So you got to know that you know who you're sending them to.
Yes. Yeah, so I do feel bad for her.
I think we got out of that segment pretty much unscathed. Like we didn't get into too many. We didn't make too many tasteless jokes.
No.
So yeah, we'll leave that to the listeners out there. If you got tasteless jokes, send them to Marcus Vandenberg. we'll read the best ones next week. what is your name for Paige? What would your name be for a Paige collaboration if she got with Vivid Entertainment?
Oh, that's the next step. Will be
the doing legitimate porn,
the parody. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! And you know they had to get like some Spanish porn star to play Alberto.
Oh yeah. Poor Del Rio, by the way.
Oh man. Yeah, just weeks into his Impact Wrestling tenure, and now he's got this on his plate.
Because I'm going to guess he probably didn't know about this.
Nope, probably not. And just by knowing the stories I've read about this dude, he doesn't seem to be the most person.
No.
Like, he probably got a little heated on this.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And rightfully so, probably.
Which, is it wrong though that like me thinking of Del Rio getting mad and having an argument with Paige? I'm just like thinking that'd be an incredible promo.
Actually, I think the bigger issue with, well, not really because it's TNA, but this dude's still on television. Like, what about that crowd?
TNA was gonna punish him or something?
No. What about the Impact crowd?
Oh,
but I was about to say, but their crowd is mostly. Dudes off the street.
See, yeah, so. we won't know until a couple weeks from now.
Yeah.
Because these tapings have already, the show, the episodes that are airing now have already been taped. But yeah, that next round of tapings.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it'll have died down by then, though.
I think so. But really, how many quote-unquote fans are there that are going to these tapings?
Hey, Bruce Pritchard is making Impact great again. Bruce Pritchard and Dutch Mantel.
What a combo.
That's what'll get the younger viewers.
Yep.
Great
podcast though. If you haven't heard his podcast, it's pretty good.
I was gonna say, if anything, at least he's getting advertisement for the podcast by doing this.
Yeah, something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard.
So shout out to Bruce Pritchard for getting them checks. Well, yeah, we talked some Paige, we talked some basketball, and I think that's gonna do it for this week, Marcus. Because I'm really excited to get to next week's show. We've got some special guests on tap. Who knows who they will be? Maybe Marcus teased one a little bit earlier in this segment. We might talk to Hulk Hogan next week.
We might. I am going to Florida. You never know.
That'd be great if you just got an interview to Hulk Hogan on the street. not even a formal interview. Just turn on your tape recorder.
He is down in Tampa somewhere.
Yeah, he lives down there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's got a restaurant down there, too.
Yeah, I think in Clearwater, maybe.
Ah, Marcus, I think you need to go online after we get through tonight, see if he sells hamburgers. I'm so excited, I can't even finish the sentence. We got to have a Vandenberger's from Hulk Hogan's restaurant.
Let's see, Hulk Hogan restaurant.
I think he got in trouble, too, for, like, a dress code. Like, that was kind of semi-racist.
Yeah, that's the first story that came up was the racist dress script. All right.
Oh, don't ever change.
Oh, his restaurant got sold.
Oh, man. So he's lost Pasta Mania, now this one, whatever this one was?
Yeah. All right.
Damn. I might have been like, we could have retired Vanderburgers after that.
He's opening a beach shop in Orlando that is grand opening March 30th. So right before WrestleMania. Hint, hint.
So open March 30th and close April 4th.
He will be doing autograph signings. And this is interesting. He's doing autograph signings on WrestleMania Day from 12 to 4.
So he might have some free time.
He might have some free time in the evening.
Damn, Hulk is a... I give Hulk credit, though. He's a worker. Like if he's going to be on WrestleMania, he is working all the way up until the very last minute to get some money.
Yep.
Like 4 o'clock. Oh, time for the pre-show, brother.
And do you want to guess how much it'll cost you to...
For an autograph?
Yeah.
It's an autograph and a picture?
It's...
I know Virgil's charging like 20 bucks a picture.
So it's like there's different prices depending on what you want signed.
Okay, so I'm guessing it starts at around 25.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. So what you're saying is the low end of these Hogan autograph packages are more than 25?
Yes.
50?
No.
More than 50?
Yep.
Can't be $100.
$100 for a ticket and an autograph.
And it goes up from there?
So $150 for a figure, shirt, bandana, or 8x10.
Damn.
And then $200 for a replica belt, large poster, a seat back, WrestleMania chair, etc.
Damn. That's a damn hustle right there. Because it's not like... The autograph doesn't change depending on the size of the object.
Yeah, no.
That man is a hustler.
And he's doing this for 7 days.
Oh, yeah. And he knows the marks are going to be in town.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, Hogan. And he got that Gawker money.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of Hulk Hogan. As one of our former guests called him a racist hot dog looking son of a bitch. Sit your red and yellow ass down, Hulk. Terry.
Yeah.
Damn. So I guess I know what I'm getting for Christmas from you this year.
Yeah. Play your cards right. So on that note.
Autographed by Hulk Hogan.
Down to USC, by the way. Just lost to Baylor.
Damn.
So, Baylor-Duke.
Right. Baylor-Duke. So assuming the madness,
Duke wins, yeah.
The madness is continuing, and we will certainly give you some updates and our thoughts next week as the NCAA tournament continues. We'll definitely be talking wrestling as WrestleMania draws near. And like we said, it'll be our official anniversary show, even though this week was... actually our anniversary, but next week we'll have our official celebration of our anniversary, and we'll have some special guests that I'm sure you're going to want to tune in for. But until then, Marcus, let the people know where they can find you and where they can, especially our women listeners, where they can write you and voice their displeasure for the lack of coverage of women's basketball on this show.
Wow. You can find me on social media at Mark Dowill, MarcoWill.
You can find me on Twitter at N8 MOZAIK at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. And check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/ the Kings of Sport. Trying to think, where else? Oh, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict. Subscribe to the show. And most importantly, share the show with your friends if you dig what we are doing. Like we said, we got a big show coming up next week, and we think you're going to enjoy what we got planned. So unless you have anything else to say, Marcus, I'm going to end the show and go online and look up some more of the page stuff for research purposes only. I'm not a journalist like you, Marcus, but I pride myself in my professionalism. So I want to know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about it to the people.
Well, all right. If you say so. Incognito is your friend, Nate.
I'm going to have to sign in them under my false name, Ron Mexico.
Under the Teens of Sport account.
Like, damn, the Kings of Sports show look at a lot of freaking things. One Night in China? R.I.P. Speaking of R.I.P. real quick, rest in peace, Chuck Berry.
Yes. 90.
The father of rock and roll, yeah, died at the age of 90 last night. Obviously, Chuck Berry's a little before our time, but you gotta show that man some respect.
Yes.
Go to Spotify if you listen to Spotify, and I think they put up a Chuck Berry mix over the weekend. So check it out. It might not be everybody's cup of tea, but it definitely is the foundations of rock music. So show Chuck some love, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, mine is my Dindling, who's a great artist.
That's still one of my favorite little jokes from The Simpsons. When they're doing that talent show and that kid comes out and sings My Dealing and Skinner gets him off the stage, like, we'll have none of that. Oh, damn. Now that plays back into Xavier Woods.
Yeah. All right. Time to go.
It's time to go. So join us back here next week for an all-new edition and a very special anniversary edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You started back doing the thing that you used to do. And you've been down with the king.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about? Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Time is really wasted. Say